And I invite you to open in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter number 15. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1 of this chapter, and I'd invite you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read a few verses here this morning. In Revelation, chapter number 15, verse number 1, God says this, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask that you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'd love to spend our time this morning just simply delving into the riches of the book of Revelation. Such an interesting and fascinating book, as it tells us things that are shortly going to come to pass. But that isn't the message for this morning. This morning I'm going to speak on probably the most controversial subject in all of Christianity. I'm talking about music. Music is a very personal issue. And as I preach and as I teach, I mention music frequently. And I imagine so much so that perhaps some of you ask yourselves, well, what's the big deal? It's just music. And so this morning, I just want to simply take three perspectives from the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures say about music. Now, you know, I hope, where I stand as to what I believe style of music you ought to listen to and what you ought not to, but that isn't necessarily the message this morning. This morning, the message is just, what does God say about music? And so the first thing I want to look at this morning is just simply the purpose of music. Why did God give us music? Now, he didn't have to. There are a lot of things in this universe that God did not have to put here. But he did each and every one for a purpose. And so when we consider music, that is the first thing we've got to explore, is why did God give us music? Why do certain sounds and certain notes, when they're all put together in a certain fashion, why does it sound so nice to us? Why do we like it so much? Why does it become such a hot point or a hot topic today? So much so that people will leave churches and friendships will part over this very issue. Well, the first purpose for music we find here in Revelation chapter number 15, as we're given a glimpse of heaven. Now, this event has not yet taken place. It will take place at a later date. We know that before this history takes place, the rapture will take place first, that the Lord will step off of the throne of heaven in the universe and will come to the clouds, and we'll hear him call us up, and we'll hear the trump of God, we'll hear the archangel, and all that believe in Christ will instantly be changed and caught up with him in the clouds, joining those that had died in Christ and were already buried in the grave, and their souls had gone to heaven. Those souls will come back. They'll be reunited with their bodies in the air, in those clouds. That's the rapture. After the rapture comes this tribulation period. And there are three series of plagues, or three series of judgments. The first are called the seal judgments. As we see, the Lamb has had been slain, having that seven, or taking that seven sealed book out of the hand of God. And as he breaks each successive seal, a judgment takes place on earth. Following those seven sealed judgments comes the second set of judgments, which are the trumpet judgments, where the angels, the angels in heaven sound, and as they sound, the judgment takes place on earth. Following these seven trumpet judgments come these last plagues, these vial or bowl judgments. As God prepares the world for these judgments, and he gives us this glimpse in heaven as these angels prepare to carry out God's judgments on the earth, we're introduced to this great number of individuals that are on this sea of glass mingled with fire. And as they're on this sea of glass, we notice in verse number 3 that they break forth in song. In the context of the song, the words that they sing is nothing less than praise and worship to God. And so when we consider the purpose of music, the very first and I believe foremost purpose of music is that of worship. This is something that we'll do throughout all eternity. Now, when we were singing, I was noticing some people, Isaac, and I won't mention any names, right, Isaac? Aren't you glad that I didn't see singing? Now, I have to pick on Isaac today. We had the, they call them the alumni games, but none of the alumni want to play the junior high team. And so us dads get to play and foul our sons like crazy. And but anyway, Isaac was going up for a shot, and I blocked it. And I'm a terrible trash talker when it comes to sports. I really should wash my mouth, but I turned around to him and said, next time, shoot like a man. Well, when I blocked it, the shot went out of bounds. I inbounded it to Isaac standing behind the three-point line. Now, the shot I blocked was only a two-point shot. He stood behind the three-point line, caught the ball, and shot, and hit nothing but net. Now, that was the ultimate burn on me, so that's why I'm picking on our non-singing Isaac over there. But we may not sing now because our voices to ourselves may not sound very musical or very pleasant. But when we get to heaven, eternity will be filled, will be absolutely filled with singing. And though today our voices may not sound to ourselves very musical or very pleasant, I can guarantee you, if you are singing the praise of God, God is in heaven listening. And if you didn't sing before, when God hears you singing that first time, he's probably elbowing the angel right next to him and say, hey, you hear so-and-so singing? Isn't their voice beautiful? That's what God thinks. Now, some of you know the first time I sang in church, I tell the story, it's kind of funny. Because I was one of those kids growing up, I didn't sing ever. And we get through music class, and I mouthed every song. And I don't recommend that, because there's going to come a day when you want to sing. If you're a young person, you're trying to do the same thing. But I remember when I first got saved and started going to church. And I would always sit with a mother and daughter at church. And the pastor was getting on them. He was saying to them, "Is can't even saved because he never sings." And they, because he was getting on them, they were getting on me. And so one day I thought, well, I'm going to let them have it. And I sang. And we left church that day. And you know what they both said to me? "Ken, if you ever sing in church again, we will not ever sit with you again." But I don't think that was God's opinion. I think God was up in heaven. He listened. He
nudge that angel next to him and say, hey, listen, Ken's singing today. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I wouldn't have said that about myself. I still wouldn't say it about myself. But it's not me I'm trying to impress. And it wasn't those two ladies I was trying to impress that day. I was singing to God. We're going to sing through all eternity. Why? Because it's worship. Do you realize if you just sit through the song with closed lips, you're not worshiping? You have the opportunity. It's right there at your fingertips, and you're making the conscious choice, I will not worship God. And so the first reason is worship. We'll be singing through all eternity. Turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. The second reason why God gave us music is found in verse number 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right, now if we stop right there in the verse, I think we understand what we're talking about. We're talking about this book. We're talking about teaching the truths found in this book. Let it dwell in us richly. Not just go in one ear and out the other. God wants us to know what is contained in this book before us this morning because He believes it's pretty important. People lost their lives literally in order for you to have a copy of this book in your own language today. We oftentimes take it for granted and we don't recognize its worth and its value because we haven't had to pay a lot for it. All right, how much did you pay for your Bible? If you have a Rock of Ages Bible, I know how much you paid. It wasn't a whole lot as far as Bibles go. And we're not always willing to fork out a lot of money for Bibles because we don't value it the way God values it. But God says this book is so important. Whether you have a $1 copy from the dollar store or if you have a $100 copy with good leather covers on it, God values it as valuable as anything in this world. You can dig all the diamonds out of all the diamond mines in all the world, and God says, you know what, they're nothing compared to this book. And God wants this word to dwell in your hearts richly. Now, how does God tell us to get that word in our heart? Because probably every one of us, at least most of us, would say this morning, preacher, I can't memorize Scripture. I just don't remember those things. And I read the Bible over and over and it's new every time because I don't remember what I just read. So how does God tell us to get this book in our hearts, so much so that He says it's dwelling there richly? Well, here's how. Following on in this verse, He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here's how God says it ought to be done. God says it ought to be done through music, the avenue of music. Now, we all know this, that music is a tremendous teaching tool. Don't we all know that song? A, B, C, D. I'm not going to sing the rest of the song. You know how it goes. I get embarrassed singing in front of people. We use it to teach our children their alphabets. And we have all different songs to teach all different things. But what about the Word of God? God said He gave us music that sounds pleasant to our ears and relaxing to our souls in order to teach us this book. If you're not listening to scriptural songs, then you aren't getting the Word of God in your heart richly like God intends it to dwell in your hearts. And you're sacrificing what God has for you. The things that you listen to that are put to music, you'll remember. How many commercial jingles can you think of right now? They stick in your mind. And that's why the advertising world does that. They put it to music, knowing that you'll walk away with that song stuck in your head, whether you like it or whether you hate it, it's there. God says, I want that to happen with my word. Are you giving God's word the opportunity it ought to have to dwell in your hearts richly? Because of this, we need to be careful about the songs we listen to. There are songs out there that are full of false doctrine. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, I listened to a Christian radio station all week long off the internet, oldchristianradio.com. If you'll go there, you'll get, for the most part, good music. But there are still some songs in there that if I was putting together the playlist would be excluded. Not because the music is bad, but because it teaches false doctrine. And I don't want to listen to false doctrine. Why do I make this an issue? I remember one preacher one time saying, it doesn't matter what the song says, just go ahead and sing it if everybody likes it. Well, that sounds nice. It's non-controversial. It's conciliatory toward everybody, makes everybody happy. But the thing is, we need to guard our hearts and our minds with scriptural truths. To me, this is a big issue. It's a big issue to me because of what this verse says. God wants us to teach us. Now, do we want false doctrine being taught? I don't. You may not be aware of it, but I guard this pulpit very closely. I don't know of anyone, any other preacher, who filters special speakers more closely than I do. I guard it very closely. There are other men who guard just as closely as I do, that are careful about who preaches in their pulpit. But some of those same men will let someone get up here and sing and preach false doctrine because they like the tune. We need to be careful because one of the purposes God has given for music, first of all, is for worship. Secondly, is to teach. Let music teach you about God. A third purpose of music is this very simply, expressing emotion. Doesn't music play on your emotions? You know, this is what really cracks me up is you have people that will argue and say, well, music is neutral. The type and style of music is irrelevant. All that matters are the words. Or they'll listen to a wrong type of music and say, well, I'm not listening to that part. I'm just listening to the words because the words are good. But the music itself, taking all the words away, expresses emotion. If you don't believe me, watch television. When they get to a sad part, what kind of music do they play? They play sad music. That's how you know it's a sad part. If you take that music out of there, you look at them scratching your head and saying, you know, this is really a bad show. It doesn't make any sense. The music expresses emotion. When you hear a march, what does it make you want to do? It makes you want to stand up and march. Music is not neutral. In the scriptures, we have a lot of different emotions expressed through music. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 6. This is when David, who was not yet king, was serving in the army under Saul as a general, and he's coming back. In verse number 6, it says, it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And so because of the victory won in battle that day, all of Israel was rejoicing and they had a great day of celebration. Well, how did they celebrate? They celebrated with song. They celebrated with music. The music was expressing the emotion of joy in their hearts. And so we see it expresses joy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 8, we see music being used again to express emotion. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 8. Here the Bible tells us, and David And all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Now this is when David had prepared a place in Jerusalem, not the temple, but a place for the ark. And they went to fetch the ark and bring it to Jerusalem. And as they were moving that ark in front of it, Israel was expressing their joy, was expressing their reverence, was expressing their worship, all of these things with music. We see emotion again in Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. Of course, in Exodus, God commands Moses to go and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And as we follow them along through the early chapters, we see the 10 plagues on Egypt. Then after the death of the firstborn, Egypt drives Israel out. They get to the Red Sea and have a quandary. How do we get across? Pharaoh saw them trapped and was coming after them to re-enslave them. And then God worked a miracle by parting the ocean, the Red Sea. As they come out on the other side, we find ourselves here in chapter 15. And we're not going to read the whole chapter, but in verse number 1, the Bible tells us, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea." And so here we see it as praise. They're praising God, much like we saw in the book of Revelation. They were expressing their emotion of praise to God. They were in awe of God and at what God had done in their life. And it burst forth in song because there was no other way to express it. When we sing the songs in church, these songs ought to be personalized by us when we sing some of these great songs of victory and songs of deliverance and songs of salvation and what Christ has done for us and what Christ means to us. It ought to come through in these songs as worship and as praise to God. Well, there's another emotion found in, let's go to Matthew chapter number 9, that music can portray or communicate. In Matthew chapter number 9, in verse number 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. What we're doing is we're jumping right into the middle of a biblical funeral. This fella had a daughter who had died. Now he went to Jesus for help. And as Jesus arrived, he saw the minstrels. Now the people making the noise, they actually would hire, in their culture, they would hire professional mourners. Because the Israelite was very emotional. They wore their emotions out on their sleeves where everyone could see them. And so they'd be very loud in their time of grief. And they would have people come in and hire them to come in and assist them in that time of grief. And so we can understand the people making a noise. It was weeping and sobbing there. But the minstrels, what were the minstrels all about? A minstrel is someone who plays and sings music. And so this was a part of what Jesus walked into in this typical, everyday, commonplace Jewish funeral during the biblical time. Music was a part to assist them in their mourning and in their grief. And so what we find is that the music communicated their sorrow. Music communicated their sorrow. And so we see at different times and in different places in the Scriptures, and there's many more, but we don't have time to go to each and every one. But we see that God gave us music, first of all, for worship, secondly, to teach, thirdly, to express or help us express our emotions. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see there is at least one more reason why God gave music. 1 Samuel chapter 16, again we have Saul as king. David still a very young man, not yet become king. But Saul had been rejected by this point in 1 Samuel 16. The prophet Samuel had told him that God would give the kingship to one more worthy than King Saul. King Saul was, we would call him insane. He went through moments of very, very deep depression. And we walk into one of these moments of deep depression in chapter 16. Let's begin in verse number 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man, who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul agrees to it, and as we move down into verse number 23, And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And so we see a fourth purpose for music, why God has given it to us, is simply for relaxation. For relaxation. Now, people today are going through depression by the multitudes, struggling with life, trying to find happiness and joy. Even Christian people struggle with these things. What is the answer? Well, this isn't all the answer. I don't suggest it in that way at all, but this is definitely a part of the answer. The music that we listen to. Because as I said, music is not neutral. And a lot of the music, and I'm not going to get into all the details and all the things that have to do with why rock music is bad, but rock music is always bad. Just simply let me say this, it has to do with the beat. In the measure, the beat's supposed to come down at the right place. But in rock music, they have changed it because rock music is a music of rebellion, and they've put that beat in the wrong place. And the effect of it is that it creates tension within the body. A tension, because the beat's in the wrong place. And your body knows it. Now, we've become trained to that, to like that in our society, in our culture. It's hard to go anywhere anymore without hearing rock music. And so we've been desensitized to it. But the fact of the matter is, the rock music itself, the very music, take all the words away, the music itself has the beat in the wrong place. It creates that tension, and it does not do what God intended it to do, which is to relax. Now, King Saul was in a bad place there. He tried to assassinate David already. He tried to assassinate his own son. That's how bad a place King Saul was. But this is the power of godly music. As David played, and I imagine he played some of the psalms that we have recorded for us in Scripture. And as David played on that harp, however you hold it, I don't even know, I'm not even going to try. I'm saying you're going to play a guitar. But as David played that harp, and as he sang this praise to God, you see exactly what happened with Saul. That evil spirit that was creating the tension, creating the depression, creating the hatred, creating everything wrong in his life, left. And all you had left with Saul was a man who was refreshed and ready to get back in life. Ready to take over the authority of the kingdom of Israel once again. What made the difference in his life was godly music. How about you this morning? Are you finding yourselves in the same place that Saul found himself? Difficulty dealing with life, depression, tension, stress levels beyond belief? If you're there, let me ask you, and just answer this in your own heart, your own mind. What music have you been listening to? Have you been listening to God's music? Everything that calls itself God's music is not God's music. I mean godly Christian music, like you hear here at church. You know, really, that's why we bother. I say we, but Stephen does the work every year to put out that CD so that you'll have at your fingertips some good, godly music. There's good radio stations, like I mentioned, oldchristianradio.com. It will help you, and it will help your spiritual life. The other two points I obviously don't have time for. We'll talk about them in a later sermon. But God gave music for a reason. He gave it for worship. He gave it for teaching. He gave it to express emotion. And He gave it for relaxation. Are you allowing music to play its role in your life? Or have you sacrificed that and substituted a satanic counterfeit that will only do you, spiritually speaking and physically speaking, will only do you harm? What choice have you made? Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Father, how You just present the facts here about why You've given to us music. Father, I don't think any one of us in the room would disagree on these points. We've seen them in Your Word. And Father, if we just simply contemplate our own life and our own musical experience, Father, we would admit as well that all these things are evident in our own lives. But Father, we know we don't always make the right choice when it comes to music or our choice or style. Father, help us this morning. May Your Holy Spirit just simply take these simple truths from Your Word and help us to make a change in order that our music might do that for which You've sent it. Father, help us to make a commitment to stop settling for Satan's counterfeit, in order that our lives might glorify You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.